In just a moment, Wings to Victory. This is an appeal, an out-and-out request for your help. This month, the American Red Cross opens its annual appeal of the year for the War Fund. The Red Cross needs your help. It needs it so badly that we are asking you, after hearing the facts, to give to the Red Cross. No government aid comes to the Red Cross. It is supported by your contributions. Contributions that made possible the gathering of over 1.5 million pints of blood plasma this year. Contributions that will make it possible to collect over 4 million pints this coming year. The Red Cross provides for the comfort and well-being of American boys who are prisoners in the hands of the enemy. These are but two of the vital functions performed by your Red Cross. Give to assure yourself that you are doing your utmost for the boys who are doing more than their utmost. Don't fail. Give to the Red Cross War Fund. And now, Wings to Victory.
Uncle Sam presents Wings to Victory. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Jones, USA. The story of a battle between 6 Martin Marauders and 2 Japanese destroyers off Kiska in the Aleutians, and how Technical Sergeant Oliver Olmsted went through his baptism of fire. Coast, ladies and gentlemen, the Army Air Forces present Wings to Victory, the dramatization of American heroism based on combat reports from the fighting fronts. For obvious reasons, all names and characters in these true stories are fictitious.
Our Army Air Base on the Andrianov Islands is a small patch of frozen tundra lost in trouble. The weather is an idiot's dream of winds that blow up and down and sideways, of fogs that form and disappear willy-nilly, of rains and blizzards that come belching from the North Pole in a senseless sequence. The mountains are cruel, and the sea is without mercy. Our Army airmen live there in iron huts. They fight Japs and sleep, Japs and loneliness, Japs and boredom, Japs and death. But in this, the dreariest and most rigorous combat area American boys have had to endure, the worst enemy is mental, not physical. Flight surgeons call it melancholia. Our men call it the long sweat. And on that morning, when Sergeant Oliver Olmsted arrived in camp, there was ominous talk in the iron hut occupied by Sergeant Red Galvin and Sergeant Jock Belair.
Throw him.
Oh, with 4 fives to beat, I gotta shake these dice.
Nah, I quit. You win. Take the orange.
Huh? Quitting? What's the idea?
I don't want to hear no more dice rattling in a tin cup. Put them away and fire the stove. It's your turn.
I fired it last, Red.
You're a liar. I fired it right after breakfast.
That was 2 hours ago, pal. Look, my mark right here on the door.
We should go back to the coal oil stove. Wood scraps are no good. They don't burn long enough. I'm going back to G.I. coal oil.
Okay, then I'm moving out.
Why bother?
You know my stomach can't stand that coal oil. The stuff stinks.
You won't have to stand it long, Jock, old kid. Our number's up.
Starting that again.
Yeah. You better be writing your letters home.
That's my business.
Sure, so get it attended to. We got an airplane named Ginger. She gets it in the next mission.
Oh, lay off, will you?
Hey, listen to that wind. Guys shouldn't have to take it. Not every minute for 3 months. So they stick us in a tin shack where it sounds twice as loud.
It sounds worse in wood buildings. It moans in wood buildings.
Yeah, well, I hope we have the mission today and get it over with. For good and all.
You're nuts. You better go to Doc Prentice like an honest man and admit it.
I'm the only sane guy in the crew. When Hank got killed, that was the tip-off. There ain't never been a bombardier killed in a B-26 without the whole crew going down on the very next mission. Happened that way 3 times straight in New Guinea, and twice in North Africa.
Says who?
That C-54 pilot, Captain Rhodes, that's who. He's been in both places. He has personal eyewitness accounts.
Ah, he's a transport pilot.
Well, he wasn't trying to scare me. He told Mickey.
Look, all transport pilots are liars. They like to get you goat. They blow in here for a few hours and spread atrocity stories just to be funny.
Well, look, Jack. I've been getting ready for this. I've been praying a little nights. You better be doing something like that. Strictly on your record, you're no bargain.
Where's Doc Prentice apt to be this time of morning?
In his office, mate. Oh, no, you don't. Don't you go nearby. Come here.
Let go. I've stood about enough of this.
Yeah, well, I was just kidding, honest. Can't you take a rib?
Kidding, yeah? Don't lie to me.
If you tell Doc, I'm going to...
Pipe down. Yeah? Who is it?
I'm Sergeant Galvin. I'm Sergeant Belair. Live here?
Yeah, come in.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Technical Sergeant Oliver Olmsted, the new bombardier.
In our ship, in Ginger?
That's right. You must be Sergeant Galvin, aren't you?
Yeah. His name is Belair, Jacques Belair.
Red Galvin and Jacques Belair. I meet two famous guides all at once. Ah, this will be something to write home about. You know, you look just like I imagined you would, judging from your pictures.
Our pictures?
In the Duluth, Minnesota Daily News. Didn't you see him? Lieutenant Morris, our skipper, is a Duluth boy. You got all written up by an AP man with a whole page spread. Ginger got her picture in Look magazine, too.
And I don't know nobody in Duluth.
Boy, howdy, this makes everything complete.
It does.
Yes, sir. You see, I was afraid they'd send me to the Solomons or Tunisia. But what a break, being in Alaska. Yeah, I trained in Texas, and I almost died from the heat. I'm used to nippy weather like in Duluth. I still can't believe it. Ginger, the famous B-26 bomber, and me, the bombardier, and this weather. Hey, you mind if I hold the door open a second?
Do we, Red?
Huh? No, but just a second.
Thanks. Ah, that good old wind. Sounds like Duluth when a blizzard blows off the lake.
Hey, hold on. Are you sure they assigned you to Ginger?
Yes, sir. Captain Loomis said that the... Oh, my gosh. I wonder if it's a mistake. Have you got a new bombardier already?
No, but
say, I better go find Lieutenant Morse and nail this down right away. Excuse me. It's an honor to have met you. I'll see you later.
Well, so he's the next one.
How old do you reckon that kid is?
Oh, maybe 19.
Oh, at least 20.
Oh, what's the diff? You won't live to be much older.
Stop it, Red.
Ginger's skipper, Lieutenant Morse, is feeling the strain of the long sweat in the Aleutians as severely as Sergeant Galvin. He sat with his co-pilot, Lieutenant Levering, in a corner of the pilot's lounge, drinking his fifth cup of black coffee and trying not to look at the gray madness of weather outside a frosted window.
Oh, what's the use of thinking about it, Bill? Can't you see it doesn't get you anywhere?
Oh, I should put it up to the old man.
Put what up?
I killed Hank Peters.
Now, that is absolutely and positively the screwiest idea you've had yet.
But I could have saved him.
Oh, Bill, now why...
Oh, the Jap was coming on head on. I could have dived or rolled or turned aside. That's what I should have done. Hank would be alive if I'd done that.
Oh, that's nonsense. Hank was our nose gunner as well as our bombardier. It was his job to shoot it out with a Jap. He did shoot it out. He got the Jap, and the Jap got him.
Yes, with an incendiary in his lungs.
Snap out of it, Bill. Hey, come on. Let's go talk to Doc again.
Oh, huh? Doc's no help. Nuts to that.
All right. Hey, how about a gin rummy game?
Oh, haven't you heard? Doc's invented a better little game than that. He's talked the old man into holding a contest to see which one of us is the best writer.
What, you mean short stories?
Nope, we're supposed to sit down and after the next mission and describe our experiences.
Well, maybe that's not so silly. You know, it might help some of us to put it all down on paper. That Doc's a pretty shrewd old bird, Skipper.
Well, you can write it. And be sure not to miss any detail. Tell him how it feels to have a boy you know dying in a cubbyhole right under your feet. Tell him how I could have saved that boy and I didn't. Tell him how
Quiet.
I...
Quiet, Skipper. There's a kid moving our way. I think he wants to talk to you.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me, sir, but aren't you Lieutenant Morse?
That's right.
Well, I'm Sergeant Olmsted. Captain Loomis assigned me to be your bombardier.
Oh, bombardier, huh? Yes.
Oh, have you got another man, sir? I'd like to, but if you've already picked one... Or...
No, I haven't.
Whew, what a relief. I was afraid for him. Well, is it okay for me then, sir?
You're going to take...
I'm Joe Levering, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lieutenant Levering is my co-pilot.
Oh, glad to meet you, sir. I recognize you from your picture. I've already met Red Galvin and Jacques Belair.
Oh, that's good, Sergeant. The sooner you get acquainted up here, the better.
Lieutenant Morse and I are from the same town, I believe.
Duluth?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Duluth, huh? Well, don't tell me we went to the same school.
No, sir. You see, I lived on the west side. You were at Minnesota while I was in high school, but I... Well, all of us kids followed your brilliant career. You sure are a big hero back home. I got a whole scrapbook full of clippings. So I've kind of set my heart on flying with you and Ginger. It's my big ambition.
Well, that's a hint, Skipper.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't talk to you about this now. I appreciate it. You'll see me after lunch.
Certainly, sir. What, did I say something wrong, sir? I didn't know.
No, it's all right.
But he walked out
well,
like...
Well, his nerves are a little bad this morning. Sergeant Peters, did they tell you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, Hank was a great favorite of his.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes me admire Lieutenant Morse even more than I did. You say, I could write back home for letters of recommendation to him if that would help.
No, that's not necessary. You just assume you're a member of our crew until you're told otherwise.
Oh, gosh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Excuse me, I gotta tell Red and John.
Well, that was Oliver's introduction to the members of his bomber crew. Superstition-haunted Red, stolid Jock, friendly Lieutenant Levering, and tense, overwrought Lieutenant Morse, the skipper. All of them veterans, pushed to the ragged edge by the strain of war. The first real meeting between Oliver and the Martin B-26, nicknamed Ginger, was equally ominous. Crew Chief Mickey Dolan acted as master of ceremonies.
Hey, Sergeant Dolan. Sergeant Dolan.
Yeah? Oh, hello, kid.
Would you mind moving to one side just a little? I want to take her picture with you, but you're covering up her name.
Hey, put that camera away.
Isn't it allowed?
Now, look, Oliver. There's two things you don't ever want to do with a bomber. Don't take her picture while any repairs ain't finished yet. And don't take her picture before you've flown your first mission. Either one is asking for it.
Oh, is that the tradition?
I don't know about the tradition, but it's the rule.
Gosh, I'm sure glad you stopped me. Guy'd be a heel to put a jinx on Ginger. Have you ever stopped to think that she's the prettiest and most efficient airplane in the whole world?
Ginger? Fine, she's ugly as sin.
Ugly? Well, how can you say such a thing? Oh, you must be kidding me like the rest of them.
I said she's ugly. Her wings are too stubby. And look at her belly. It's too fat. And she's mean, too. All B-26s are mean. But this one is the meanest we got.
You shouldn't say such things, Sergeant, even in jest.
Sonny, I'm only warning you. Why, I got a kid your age in the Marines. You've come breezing in here full of schoolbook notions. You're a pink little pig in a slaughterhouse. Wow. We're in the business of killing Japs. It's nasty, filthy work. Say, you ought to know what it's like to kill Japs over at Kiskun.
I want to know. What is it like?
Well, I've only been in three raids as a spare gunner.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have to go. I was in the last war and wanted to refresh my memory, so to speak. Well, war ain't changed a bit. Except maybe for the worst.
Oh, what's it like?
Just a fancy little hell. This Ginger ship. Well, she coops you up behind glass and tin and takes you right into it, doing 300. You can't run and you can't hide and you got no dirt to dig a hole in. It's just like Ginger was saying to you, man, you made me a killer machine. You done it. It's too late to change your mind now. I'm going to give you a belly full. Then she ups and runs away with you. She goes insane.
That's wonderful.
Huh? What did you say?
I said it was wonderful, the way you describe it.
Say, are you getting smart aleck with me?
No, Sergeant. I'm complimenting you. You see, I hope to be a writer someday. Of course, I'm just an amateur, but I think you've got remarkable descriptive powers.
Holy smoking little Molly.
What were your personal impressions of actually being shot at?
Go on, Oliver. I'm busy. I've got to finish this plastic cast.
Now, just one more question, please. You see, I once read a book that said the thought you ought to console yourself with in battle is that nothing can happen that hasn't happened to other men. What they endured, you can endure. Now, is that sound psychology in your opinion?
No, it ain't. And what's more, the Jap should shoot the pants off the guy who wrote that story, whoever he is.
Well, what should a man turn to for... Well, if he gets scared.
God. Over Kiska, God.
Say, that's great, Sergeant. That's really swell.
Yeah?
It's my own personal and private theory. I'm sure glad to hear a man of your experience express it. You see, in my opinion, Lee, Sherman, and Jackson were our greatest soldiers, and they were all religious men.
Hey, so... Oliver! Oh. Oliver!
Excuse me, Sergeant. Red's calling me. I'm right here, Red.
Why don't you stay in one place? Does a guy have to hunt all over Alaska for you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Red. I just wanted to look at Ginger, and Sergeant Dolan and I got into a philosophical discussion
about... Well, the
about...
skipper wants to see you.
Lieutenant Morse?
Yeah.
Honest, no kidding?
Cross my heart.
Well, how did he look? What did he say?
He looked grouchy, and he said, where the blankety-blank is that Olmsted kid? Find him somebody.
Uh-oh. I guess he's decided against me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll have to try to take my medicine like a man.
Take it on the double. Skipper don't like to wait.
Yeah. Well, should I give him an argument, maybe?
No, don't say a word.
Well, okay. Couldn't I even ask Lieutenant Levering to put in a word for me?
No.
Yes, sir. Sergeant Olmsted reports as ordered, sir.
Oh, yes. Sit down, Olmsted.
Thanks. I've been hoping,
you
sir...
You still want to be in my crew, do you?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll get to that. Another matter, I've had to censor one of your letters. This one to the Duluth Daily News.
Censor? Doggone, I clean forgot.
Well, all letters have to be censored, and we usually let the old hands be their own censors. But in your case, well, I'm glad I caught this. You shouldn't write such things to anyone, much less a newspaper.
Oh, I was just giving my own opinion, sir.
Well, it sounds like romantic nonsense. Your descriptions of Red and Jock and Lieutenant Levering and me, well, they're too far-fetched even to be flattering. Men of heroic mold, best combat team in the service, dedicated to their country. Oh, I can't pass any of this. I suggest you tear that letter up and forget it.
But I sincerely believe every word I wrote, sir.
Well, I hate to spoil your dream up, kid, but after a couple of months up here, we learn to be honest. Ginger's a she-dog of a ship, and she's got four crocs for a crew. I'm going to duck the next mission.
You mean you're going to ground yourself?
Yes.
Oh, you're kidding me, sir.
I'm not kidding you. You better go with the old man and ask him to assign you to another plane for your debut. I've killed one bombardier, and I don't want to kill another.
Why, Skipper, you're the greatest bomber pilot in the world.
None of that, please.
But you are. Why, I followed you since I was 14 years old. Since the day you beat Michigan with a busted jaw and your ribs stove in. Why, when you started to be a flyer, that was the signal for me. I swore I'd be one, too. Why, I prayed to fly with you someday.
Oliver, you're a screwball.
Lieutenant Levering and Jock and Red, why, they're part of it. Ginger, too. You're my team.
No, it's just a dream up, kid. You're five combat missions too late. We haven't got it anymore.
I don't want to contradict you, sir, and I don't want to act fresh, but I've got to. You're heroes, and I believe in heroes. They couldn't talk me out of it, and they couldn't sneer me out of it. They say it's just the drums and flags and swanky uniforms and patriotic hokum that got me. Well, I know better. I'm no jerk. I know it's mud and guts and blood and watching your pals die. But it's the difference between a brave man and a coward, too. The brave guy fights, and the coward calls him a sucker. You join the guys who fight. That's me, too, and you got to show me how.
Nope. They've shot it all out of us, kid.
I don't believe it. I won't believe it.
Sorry, that'll do.
You're a brave guy. The bravest fightingest guy I ever
Eddie,
knew.
Ready, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Now, beat it. Get out before I... Please get out.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
The next afternoon, Captain Loomis, the bomber squadron CO, got a report the two Japanese destroyers of the Hibiki class were lying off Kiska Harbor. He ordered five Martin Marauders to attack them. But the Martin bomber nicknamed Ginger was not on the operations list. Her skipper, Lieutenant Morse, had asked to be relieved of this mission. But at the last moment, Lieutenant Morse had two callers. They were Sergeant Red Galvin and Sergeant Jock Belair.
You busy, Skipper?
No, what is it, Red?
Well, Jock here, he said he'd do the talking.
All right, Jock, go ahead.
Well, it's about the kid. You know Oliver.
Yes, I know Oliver.
Well, he's sitting out there in Ginger's greenhouse, sir. He's been sitting out there since after lunch. He's nuts or something. He's expecting us to fly him to Kiska.
It's going to break his heart, Skipper. Ain't it going to break his heart, Jock?
Yeah. He thinks we're some kind of heroes. He hero worships us.
Oh, well, I've tried to explain the facts of life to Sergeant Olmstead.
Yeah, so did we. I've been telling him there's a jinx on Ginger. I even wrote the farewell letter, didn't I, Jack? And Jock did, too, and, well, he still don't believe us.
He's making us look bad out there, Skipper.
Well, if you boys are that sensitive, tell him to get away from Ginger and stay away.
There goes Captain Loomis, sir.
They're all going, sir. Look, Red, look at
him. Hey, yeah. Hey, he sold Mickey Dolan, Skipper. Mickey's pushing Ginger out to the line. Hey, the whole crew's pushing her. And Oliver swinging his guns with a cartridge belt loaded.
Skipper, I think we ought to go.
Yeah? For a headline in the Duluth Daily News?
No, sir, I never read that paper.
What do you say, Red?
Yeah.
You want to go, too?
Yeah.
Jinx or no jinx, just to make Oliver happy?
Well, he thinks you're the greatest guy that ever fought a war, Skipper. He thinks you're George Washington and Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, all rolled into one.
They're all gone now, sir.
Well... Okay, we'll give Oliver what he thinks he wants. I'll give him a belly full of war. I'll cure him of this hero nonsense once and for all. Sound off for Joe Levering. Let's go.
Thanks, Skipper.
Oliver's sure going to be a happy kid.
Yes, or a dead one. Come on.
Sergeant Oliver Olmstead is off to the war. This is his first mission, his baptism of fire. Ginger is going around the mountain and making knots, trying to overhaul the other B-26s. She flies at 500 feet. but soon she will be flying much closer to the cold gray ocean than that. Our B-26s hop the waves to Kiska, and they're after Jap warships. But Oliver isn't thinking of lateral ack-ack fire and shell geysers that can tear the wings off Ginger. He is huddled over a bomb sight in her greenhouse with the grips of a 50-caliber machine gun poking him on the shoulder. Lieutenant Morse's voice on the interphone is exceedingly grim.
Hello, hello, young Lochinvar.
Oh, you mean me, sir?
Yeah, he means you, Oliver. You're a gallant knight. That was Sir Galahad, Sergeant Galvin.
Sir Lancelot was always my favorite. Him and that Guinevere.
Well, that's enough on chivalry right just now. Sergeant Olmsted.
Yes, sir?
I suggest that you fire a burst from your machine gun. On my first mission, I didn't even have the thing loaded.
Oh, mine's loaded, sir. It functions perfectly.
The bullets came out of the barrel, Skipper. Well, that's something. Now, Oliver, are you sure you pulled the pins on your bomb?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You see that rock off the island dead ahead?
Yes, sir.
We'll make a test run on that rock. Drop one bomb.
Roger. I open the bomb bay doors. I wait for the red light to go on. I put the control lever into selective.
As soon as the bomb bay is open, you fall out, Oliver.
That's a joke, Oliver. Don't do it.
Almost did. I guess I'm kind of nervous.
Get set, kid. We're on the line.
Roger. Now I sight and toggle off one bomb. Gosh, if I've just got the right rock. Bombs away, sir.
Did you hit it, kid? Did you hit it?
No, it's just short.
That's bad.
Jap destroyer stack is smaller than that, Oliver.
Ah, lay off you guys. You'll get him rattled. I'll calm him down. Hey, Oliver.
Yes, Skipper?
Observe how Ginger's flying. The right wing engine is rough. She may conk and bounce us into the water as we go down. On the other hand, we may hit a shell splash and lose a wing. Then again, a piece of flak may take her tail off. I want you to be prepared to ditch ship. And you must also be prepared to strafe the destroyer with one hand and work the bomb toggles with the other. Are you prepared, Oliver?
Yes, sir. I got my left hand on the bomb door control, right hand on the gun.
You still want to go to war?
Yes, sir.
All right, it won't be long now.
The six Martin Marauders, winged out of the gray overcast, went down to an altitude of 50 feet. They skittered across a rough sea toward Kiska Island. It was shrouded in mists and gusts of rain. They sighted the two Jap destroyers on the horizon. They started circling, one plane after the other's tail, like Indians around a wagon train. As Ginger took her place in the attack formation.
All hands, everybody ready?
Ready up here, sir.
Ready back here, sir.
Oliver?
Yes, sir. They're shooting at us. Look, sir, it's like sheet lightning. Look at Captain Lewis. He's going in to get the big one. Oh, it's a beauty. A big destroyer. Red, Doc, look. He's dropping bombs like sowing corn. He's got it. Blowing up.
Oliver, keep your eyes on our target. We're going in.
Oh, yes, sir. Excuse me.
Shoot, kid, shoot. Pour it on him.
Yes, sir. Got to drop my bombs. Hold it, sir. I'm right on. On the way. Gosh. Woo.
Two hits, kid. Good work. You got two hits.
Did I? But I dropped three bombs. Where's the other one? I know I toggled three times.
Only two bombs fell, kid.
The other one must have hung fire. Go look, will you, Red? I must have three bombs left.
Roger. Everybody okay?
Well, they're okay.
How about you, Oliver?
I'm okay, but we didn't save the ship. It's on fire, but it isn't sunk. Aren't we going to make another run, Lieutenant Morse?
You really want to go back in there?
Captain Loomis sank in. We ought to sink ours.
We've ruined that ship, Bill. Let's pull out of here. No. Oliver wants to drop the other bombs. Get set.
Oh, Oliver, think a minute. Too hot in there. They're shooting at us with the forward turret gun.
I want to sink that ship, Red.
Okay. You'll be the first one they get.
Come on, Skipper, let's go.
Well, hold tight, kid. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe we're all nuts. How about it, gang?
Take her in, sir.
Okay by me.
Red?
I said okay, but I've been hero enough.
Hold it. On the way. But look out, Skipper. You'll ram the mast.
Okay, we go home now. Everybody okay?
Galvin okay.
Belair okay.
Levering okay.
Oliver? Hey, Oliver. You okay?
I'm sorry, sir. I lost my lunch. I feel better now.
Well, don't get scared, kid. It's all over.
I'm scared. but I'm proud. I sure thank you all for taking me through. I better thank God, too. And isn't every guy that can get into his first battle with a shipload of heroes?
Heroes, he says. Come up here and watch me shake, Oliver. But thanks for the compliment.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the build-up, kid.
But I'm entirely and utterly sincere.
Oliver.
Yes, sir?
Oliver, you're a screwball. And what you think of us just ain't so. But we thank you for thinking it.
Don't call him a screwball, Skipper. He yanked us all out of a tailspin.
That's right. I stand corrected, Oliver. You're not a screwball. You're a great big shot in the arm.
Gosh, thanks, Skipper. And then say, anybody got a pencil?
Pencil? What for?
We've all got to write about this heroic action for the old man. The winner gets a 2-week furlough in Seattle.
Say, that's right. 2 weeks leave. Boy, where's my pencil? And how do you spell heroic?
When a nation fights for its life, as the British did after Dunkirk, as the Russians fought at Stalingrad, and as we ourselves fought at Midway, there is no reality but courage. We speak of the United States as a mighty continental power, a great treasure house of mines and farms and roaring factories. The topless towers of Manhattan, the raucous bustle of Chicago, the pioneer legend that is San Francisco, excite our pride. And we boast of them in song and story. But when our country is attacked by rapacious enemies, all the physical bulwarks of our strength and every possession we hold dear becomes a mirage. They no longer exist by their own right alone. They exist only by the courage with which we defend them. The land of the free must literally be the home of the brave. In war, cowards are slaves. All is courage, or all is lost. The gods of war are jealous gods indeed. They say to us, you must buy America back. Our price is blood and courage. And already some of us, each in his own fashion, have tossed the last coin upon the iron scales. Is the sunset glorious beyond the Golden Gate? Some boy in a war hawk who will not see a sunset again in this world, paid for it at Guadalcanal. Do we sing of amber waves of grain rolling from Kansas to the Dakotas? American lads in fortresses at Midway went down in bloody waves to repurchase those pleasant acres. Are the skyscrapers of New York firm upon their foundations? They rest on the courage of merchant seamen who gasped out their lives amid fiery pools of oil in the North Atlantic. The imperious skyline of a city means less in this war than one frayed echelon of fighting planes with brave men in their cockpits. And when the last shot is fired, shall this land be an American republic or a barbarian's prison camp? Courage and courage alone can answer. These are the silent days of deeds. We have come to the wordless time of the hero. God grant to each American his own one act of bravery, for only an entire nation of heroes can deserve the holy ground we tread and the victory we must win.
Listening to Wings to Victory, presented by the Army Air Forces. Sergeant Hal Gibney speaking. This war service program came to you from the West Coast. This is the Blue Network,